Well, it is a great time of year. It is a fun time of year. It is baseball time of year. And, you know, and where I get really excited about it, my team, my Reds team, they're really not that great, honestly, you know? I mean, the best that we were was before we started. And it's like we're Cubs fans. But this year is a little different. Cubs are actually good. And as much as I hate that, at least it's not the Cardinals. Amen. But it's also that time of year where church softball starts, and so I will be injured within 2 weeks. I know it, but it's also a lot of fun, and we'll just see what happens. I will pull my hammy, tear my hammy. I will do something, and so you can just pray for me as we start practice today, evidently. So anyway, well, we have been going through this series called The Home Run Life, and we've been talking about how we are to grow and how we are to live life, because it doesn't end with the beginning. It doesn't stop right there. There is a process. There is a strategy that we can go through life so that we can win, right? So that we can come around to the end and we can score, and that is important. And so I decided to go ahead and write it on the board this time, because last couple weeks, Joe and I trying to write the baseball field on it as we preach was awful, right? I'm better than Joe, but I decided to write it on here so that we know exactly what it is, and it looks like a baseball diamond. And so we have home base, which is where we connect with God, where we connect with His purpose by His power, not our own power. And we move on, we make contact, we run to first, and we try to win within. We try to win what's inside, and we try to live our life the best we possibly can with as much integrity that we can have. Right? So we connect and we win within, and then we come and connect with community. Right? The community is important, that our relationships are important. That our relationship with friends and neighbors and coworkers and family members, it is an important thing. It's a big deal. It's a big part of life. And if we skip ahead and go straight to that, then those relationships aren't built on anything. Those relationships are shallow because they don't have that character and winning within first. So we go from home to first to second to community, and then now today we're talking about traveling to third base, to the third base of competence. It's the performance base. It's winning results. It is being good, being great at whatever it is that we put our mind to. And see, this is what we tend to do in life. This is what our society has done. This is what our culture has done. It has separated life right in the middle. And we will have a sacred part of life, right? It is church. It is Sunday morning. It is when we read our Bible and all of those things. It's when we pray. They're sacred parts of life. But see, then we've separated this side to the secular part of life. That there's sacred and there is secular. We have compartmentalized our life into two different things. But I want you to know that what our society has taught us, what our culture has taught us, is a lie. It's a lie. There are not different parts of life. We don't compartmentalize our life. Everything is from God. Everything is from God. He is the creator. He has created all things. Everything is from God. Everything is spiritual. Everything is sacred. He has given it all to us, included the gifts and ability to be able to work, right? What we do on a six-day basis, what many people will call secular side of things, where I just do work to make a paycheck and everything to be able to support what I want, what I need, all of those things. But God is saying that this is all sacred, even your work, especially, I mean, your work, the thing that you do so much, the thing that you put so much energy into. We were made to work, right? We were made to be successful. And if you think it's weird to talk about winning results in church, then I want you to think of it in a little bit different way. If you're thinking in your mind, no, at church we got to talk about this stuff and not this stuff, I want to change that just a little bit. See, I've watched a lot of cross-country meets, a lot of track meets, you know, because my kids are runners, and so I've watched a lot of those things. And let me tell you how I act in those things. Well, first of all, I'm not one of those parents, you know, one of those parents that that their kid is the only one that's any good or anything like that, and you got to start them and you got to do all this kind of stuff. I'm not one of those parents, but I do cheer for my children, right? I want them to win. And as much as I want everybody, all the other kids, to really do well and all of that kind of stuff, I want mine to win. And so I'm going to cheer for them with everything I got. You guys, if you are friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw how Dathan met the track, like physically met the track and like destroyed his side. As he's running that last leg or that last bit, that last home stretch, I mean, I am yelling as loud as I possibly can. I'm like, you gotta go, you know, because they were like neck and neck and they were right there. I'm like, you gotta give it everything, you know. I'm just yelling as loud as I possibly can. He probably doesn't hear a word I'm saying because he's so focused and everything. And then he fell and he met. And I'm like, someone asked me the other day, Melinda asked me, were you worried? I'm like, no. I mean, he's a 17-year-old boy, right? Like, chicks dig scars, so who cares? Amen. But you know, I'm going to cheer as hard as I can for Dathan. I'm going to cheer as hard as I can, for Reagan. And at cross country, when I'm watching her, man, I will run to this spot and then I'll run to this spot and I'll run to this spot so that I can encourage her and say, go, Reagan, give it everything that you have. You know, when I'm not there, I think they miss it. I don't know 100% sure. I know Reagan does, but I want them to win. I want them to do well. So if our earthly parents, our earthly mom or earthly dad want us to win, how much more does our heavenly Father want us to win? How much more does he want us to win results? How much more does he want us to have success? We've read this each week. John 10:10 says, does it, Dathan, say that? There we go. Good job. I'm cheering you on. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To have a full life, to have an abundant life, to have the greatest life, the best life that they could possibly have. God sent Jesus here so that we can have that type of life, but he says there's a way to run the bases. There's a way to live this life that you've got to get, and that's what this home run life thing is all about. But you might be here today and you have issues with whether or not you compartmentalize your relationship with God and what you do for a living. See, we know that God cares about our connection with him, that he wants us to connect with him and he wants us to connect with his purpose and power. We understand that he wants us to have character, right? I mean, those are the things that we really think about with God. And even with community, that he wants us to have good relationships, not bad relationships, and ones that we serve each other and love each other. And all of that only comes from God, only comes because of how much he loves us. But then we get here and we're like, I don't know about this. This feels just a little bit weird to talk about in church. I'm not sure that third base success is really all that important to him. So I want to challenge that today by looking at Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I'm going to have it on the screen as well. But starting with verse 25. Therefore, I tell you. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. You can kind of see a little bit of third base there. Things that you have, food that you have, having the abundance, being able to, you know, have clothes to wear and shelter and all of that kind of stuff. He goes on, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I mean, we could just stop right there. I mean, that's a message all in itself. Anxiety and worry about whether or not we have or whether or not we can do this or that. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Third base is important to God. Winning results in that confidence is important to God. Now, you might have noticed each week, and if not, I will tell you and you'll notice next week. We've said each week that there is one thing that you need to know and there are some things that you need to do. Right? And we think that's important because we really believe that behavior follows belief. That you won't start behaving in a certain way until you really believe it. But once you really believe it, once you've got it, once you know without a shadow of a doubt, it informs the way that you act. So there's one thing you need to know, and there are things that you need to do. There are practices you need to have in life so that you can be the best that you can be. In baseball, they call that a five-tool player. A five-tool player, that there are five aspects of a baseball player that when you are really good at all of those, when you excel in all of those, you are a five-tool player. So those skills are foot speed, just being fast, running around the bases, whatever, arm strength, hitting for average, which means getting the most hits, hitting for power, which means to be able to hit doubles, triples, home runs, and then finally fielding. That the guys that can do all of that really, really well, or we could talk girls and softball, whatever it may be, but when they're really good at all of those, they're a five-tool player. They have stacked their skills on top of each other. So there's one thing you need to believe, there's one thing you need to know, and then there are some things, some skills that we need to stack on top of each other. So let's start with what we need to know. You need to know that your identity and your purpose are found in your Creator, not in your career. Your identity is found in your Creator, not in your career. Now, when I say career, I want to give you the permission to think a little bit outside of the job that you do. Right? Because I think for some, the job is just a calling. Right? It's like, I am made for this. And this is like my sweet spot, you know, and life is just that. But I think for others, and I think this is totally okay, that it's not necessarily a calling, but it is a means to the end. It is a way that I can support my family. It is a way that I can, you know, do the things that God wants me to do. So maybe for you, your job is not the thing that you care about the most, the things that you put the most into. Maybe it's something else. You know, perhaps it's a hobby, you know, that you just love so much and you spend so much time in and you just do so much with it. You know, maybe it's a sport, whatever it may be. I want you to think, when I say career, I want you to think of that thing that you want to be great at, right? You just really want to be awesome at it. So your identity is not in that thing. When you're a Christ follower, your identity is in your Creator, is in your Creator. Because no matter what it is, in our world, we become known by what we do, by the thing that we spend our time doing. So I want you to take that activity, whatever that may be, take that activity and imagine what that would look like standing on third base, right? Like the most success that you could have, the greatest amount of results that you have, I mean, like really winning at whatever that is. What does that look like as you stand there? What does that look like? You know, is it being on stage speaking to thousands of people? Is it being the teacher of the year? Is it having the highest sales? Whatever it may be, and being recognized for those things. Like, what does that success look like as you stand on third base? So while you're there, looking over all your success, what is in your mind? Is it in your mind about all of the hard work and all of the things, the long game that you have been in to get there? Do you look at you know, the hard choices that you had to make to keep your integrity? But you had to make those hard choices and it worked. And then do you think about the people that along the way that have helped you and that you have been able to serve and all of those things? And then you get there and you're like, this is really awesome because I've played the right way. I've run around the bases the right way. Or are you standing there thinking, man, I sure hope they don't see how I got here? Because it is easy to cheat. See, we want, right? We want, when we get a hit at home base, we can see that's only 90 feet away in baseball. Wouldn't it be easier if I just run that way? Wouldn't it be easier, rather than run 90 here, 90 here, and 90 here, if I could just sprint towards that? We tend to sprint towards success in our world. But see, we can cheat. We can cheat people. We can cheat the people that we love. We can cheat our families. We can cheat our spouses. We can say, hey, for this time right here, I know I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to go to your track meets. I'm not going to see you run. I'm not going to see you do any of that kind of stuff right now. Play in the band, whatever it may be. I'm not going to see that because I really got a lot of work to do. Are we cheating our community? The people that we love? Do you sit there on third base and say, man, remember that time where I kind of had to lie to get to this spot? Where you've cheated your character? It's easy to cheat your integrity when there's a goal that you have. If I can just get to that goal, no matter the cost. We can cheat our relationship with God. Right? I mean, who has time when we're aiming for success, when we're striving for success, when we have all these things to do? Who has time to come to church once a week? Are you kidding me? Who has time to sit down and read scripture and pray and all of those things? That's just a lot. God, you don't really expect that. I mean, I can do that one day when I get to here and then finally I can retire. Man, I'll give a lot to you, God. We can cheat so often. It is so easy to cheat in order to get to that success, that third base, whatever it is that it would be for us. You can be at third base, but you know, there's a big difference in how you get there. And to be honest, that's way more important than anything else. How you get there matters. Third base is awesome. It's awesome. It's a great place to be, I'm sure. Someday. No, I'm just kidding. It's a great place to be. But it matters how we get there. I kind of think of it like the difference between a big, fat, juicy steak. Like, you know, that's like a little filet there, you know, like 3 inches thick, you know what I mean? It just cooked right. It'd be so great. It's a little crispy on the outside. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like so good. You sear it. So like after Dathan met the track last night, I said, okay, we're just going to have to go get some steaks because, you know, at least he's going to eat well. It's going to be painful every time he goes like this, but, you know, at least he's going to eat well. So, I mean, you know, got a couple ribeyes and everything and cooked them on the grill. It was really, really cool because, man, there's nothing better to me than just a big old fat juicy steak, right? So, is this the type of life that we have, or is it more like this? A big, fat, juicy cow patty, right? So I don't know if you know this. I mean, I think you do, but let's think about this for a second. Do you know a big, fat, juicy steak and a big, fat, juicy cow patty come from the same place? Right? Yes, our friends, the cow. So, if we're chasing life this way, we get here, right? We get to this, but it's just a stinky cow patty because we're just worried about whether or not people will know how we really got there or not. Or is it the type of life where we've done the long game, right? You know, those cows right next door, they're alive for a while and they're really, it's just for food. And I know there's no kids in here, so they're just there so that they can be slaughtered and turned into steak, right? Oh, I know, that's kind of sad, but only when you're not eating it. I'm sure there will be steak in heaven, and if you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry. There'll be a room for you, too. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. See, one is amazing, and the other one stinks. And there's nothing you can do about it to stop it from stinking. You can dress it up all you want. You can tie a bow around it. You can spray it with perfume. It's still going to stink. So what type of life are you chasing? Because success, it's still success. But how you get there matters. I want to read Matthew 6 again, but this time I want to read it from the Message version. I love the way that Eugene Peterson has written this part. He says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know God. You know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So I want you to see what Jesus is saying. When you get things right at home, at home base, connecting with God, his power, his purpose, and when you get things right at first, winning within, and at second, winning with others, it frees up God's favor at third base. When you connect with God, when you seek after his righteousness, when you strive to have God the relationship, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He says all of these things will be opened up to you because I created you, because I designed you. Your identity is in me. I want you to win. I want you to have success. I want you to have results. I want you to be great at what you do. I want people to say, you're great at what you do. He wants us to win. So if that's the case, if he's saying that our identity needs to be wrapped up in him and not in the things that we do, how do we do it? What are the skills that we need to gain? What skills do we need to stack on top of each other? There's two of them today. The first one is live like God is your provider. Live like God is your provider, which is an easy thing to say and an easy thing to think. It's a lot harder to live. It's a lot harder to live. So let me give you three practical things that you can do. Number one, start with connection. Start with connection. And what I mean is every day, start with connection. Every day, before you roll out of bed or before you get to work that day, on your way to work, whatever it is, start with connection. If you can get up and you can have a Bible study, you can read some scripture and spend some time in prayer, awesome. At least do this. On your way to work, say, God, be the center of what I'm about to do. And you might think, well, wait a minute, Rob, that's just a secular job. I just work in a factory. I mean, you know, God's not even there. You should hear the way those guys talk. But what I'm saying is allow him, ask him to be the center of what you are doing, of the job that you are doing. Say, God, be the center of this. I want to be the best I can for you today. I want to be the best. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm preaching the gospel to everybody that I am around. It can mean that if the opportunity comes up. But it means connecting with God as him in the center. So that means when you're doing that, whatever you are doing, when you're doing that, and God is in the center of it, man, so much richer. But when we don't do that, what we are doing is placing our identity in the thing that we do and not in him. See, there's 1,000 things that you're going to have on your to-do list, and it would be really nice to just get up and start going and start knocking those things out. Things will come to your attention that you need to do, but put all of that behind connecting with God. Start with connection. Secondly, part of trusting God as our provider is trusting that we can obey him and what he says about money. See, our money matters. Our money matters. And of course you're like, yeah, of course it does. In this world, man, that's it moves. This world moves with that. No, our money matters to God. See, as Christ followers, we should live by the 10-10-80 principle, right? 10-10-80 principle. We give 10% to God in the work of our local church. We give 10% to savings, you know, putting aside for that emergency, whatever would happen, whatever is going to happen in the future that you don't know about, plan for that now. Like this week, we have our van tires were a little worse for wear, right? I mean, we kind of knew it. It was getting to that time. It's kind of getting to the end of the tire. You know, when it is smooth, it's not a good thing. And so, you know, of course, we just went through tax season, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And we're like, okay, we're going to save. We'll save for that. By the end of summer, we'll be able to have enough, you know, because it's just not cheap getting 4 new tires. And so that's just what we'll do. Well, was it Thursday night? I was here at a Bible study, and Melinda texted me and said, I ran over a couple screws. And so they're in the tire, and they can't be fixed. And so we had to fix them, right? So, but by living in the 10-10-80 principle, right, we can have money as an emergency fund set aside to be able to pay the $600 that it costs for new tires. A 10-10-80 principle, 10% as a tithe to the local church, 10% in a savings, and then 80% to live on. That's a lot. But 80% then to live on. And you notice I said the first 10% comes to the kingdom work of the local church. I said first, important, first, 10, important, both of those things. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. A tithe literally means a tenth. It is taking 10% of our income and bringing it to the local church for the kingdom of God, for the work that we actually do here if you're a part of this church. And then over that church, bring it into the storehouse so that there is no need, so that we can do everything that we can together to help each other grow, to help each other become what God is wanting us to become and give to those who are in need and all of those things. We give our tithe and we give it joyfully. And when we can't give to God's kingdom work, we're creating our identity about what we can purchase with the money that we have. That I can become known as the guy with this house, with this car, who gets to go out to eat at all of these places, the guy that gets to have this experience at this concert, whatever it may be, have this tech equipment. We will put our identity in those things if we can't trust God with our tenth. Instead, let's live like God is our provider. Then finally, we need to set up a 6-in-1 rhythm to our life. I mean, God set it up in creation that he would take a day off, created 6 days, took a day off, and he says, you live the same way. And where you might be saying, Rob, but you don't see my schedule. And you know what I say? I don't have to because I live it. I live it. On Monday, we have life group on Monday. It's awesome. We have a great time. But we have life group on Monday. This last week, life group on Monday, Tuesday, Dathan had a meet, and so, you know, work all day, go to his meet. On Wednesday, work all day, Reagan had a meet, so we went up and went to DeKalb and Reagan's meet. Well, Thursday, I'm like, oh, great, I don't have any meet, but I had two simultaneous meetings here at 7 o'clock on Thursday, so I had to be in two places at the same time. Anyway, and then Friday, like, it's the weekend, woohoo, it's the weekend. We get to work all day Friday, and then Reagan had another meet up at Garrett, so we got to go watch her run. And then Saturday, finally, it's a nice day, I got to get things done. Dathan had a meet in Goshen, and so we drove up there, and I enjoy those things. But see, I know this. I mean, my schedule, your schedule, all of our schedules are packed full. We have done that kind of to ourselves, but I know this. I will never be fully productive in the schedule that I have if I am not fully rested. If I never take the moment to fully rest, we'll never be fully productive. And so I can never be productive and win like God wants me to if I never rest, if I never stop, if I never renew. I mean, when we run and run and run, making sure that we don't get behind or making sure that no one else gets ahead of us, right? What we're doing is creating our identity around our activity. On the other hand, when we rest, when we stop, when we renew, we are putting our trust in God. Live like God is your provider. Live like God is your provider. If you want to win the third base of competence, winning results. And then secondly, and this will go much quicker, I promise. The first practice is living like God is our provider. And second, we need to work like God is our boss. Live like God is your provider. Work like God is your boss. Paul says to the church of Colossae, bondservants in 3:22, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Now, I realize that none of us are bondservants here. I'm not even 100% sure what that is. But anyway, so if you are one, whatever. But I do know this, that we all have a boss, right? We all have a boss. We all have somebody that we answer to. And if you don't have a boss and you are the boss, then your boss are all of your customers, everybody that you serve. We have somebody that we answer to. We have a boss. We all work for someone. And he goes on to say about obeying your boss. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. He's saying, don't just like be busy and look like you're doing your job when your boss is around, like watching you, you know, like he comes onto the line. You're like, woo, man, you're just kicking it, right? You're just going. He says, not eye service. It's not just so you look good. It is like with everything that you have, with your whole heart, with everything, work as hard as you can. Work as if God is your boss. And if God is my boss, that makes me want to excel, right? I want to do the best that I possibly can. I want to do everything that I can to do what God is calling me to do. Work like God is your boss. Now, it also doesn't mean that you can get by with shoddy work. You know, part of having integrity of your work is doing your absolute best. Excellence becomes a priority. Not only do we want to be successful in the eyes of our boss, but we ultimately work for God. We want to do our best for him. So I read this story. It was called Earn Your Keep Every Day. I want to read it to you. A budding entrepreneur opened a cleaning business in a small city. She was a hard worker. And like other business people in her community, she was always competing for business. It wasn't long before she became aware of the reputation of one of the wealthy ladies in the town who never hired the same cleaning service twice. One cleaning service would come in, clean for her, and then the next time it needed clean, she'd call another service and another service and another service. So it finally became her time. When our entrepreneur got the call, she had decided she would just do her personal best and see what happened. So she went into the home to clean and gave it her absolute best. As she cleaned throughout the home, she found a variety of change along the way. She just placed it in the little cup in the kitchen. And after completing the job, she got her payment and left. Imagine, though, her shock when a few weeks later she got a phone call from the wealthy lady asking her to clean her house a second time. Now, I don't know. As I'm read that for the first time, I'm thinking, well, of course, because she didn't pocket the change, right? Anybody else thinking that? Like, yeah, she didn't pocket change. She put it in the cup. Let's keep going. For the life of her, she couldn't understand why she was getting a second chance when no one else did. She told the lady, I would love to do it again. But with all the other people who have ever cleaned your house, why am I the only one being asked to do it a second time? And the lady said, it's very simple. $1.61. She's like, excuse me? The lady says, you were the only one who found the entire $1.61 of change that I had strategically placed through the house. She explained that some people have found 89 cents, some found 90, one $1.25, and one even found $1.40, but you were the only one to find all $1.61. So my question for you, are you a $1.61 person? Do you earn your keep every day? We need to be that type of person. We need to be that type of worker today and tomorrow and every day we go to work, where we give our absolute best, where excellence is important. And even if no one's watching, we do what we are supposed to do. Work as if you work for God, like he is your boss, and you want to do everything that you can to please him. Live like God is your provider. Work like God is your boss. And see, if all of those things go into whether or not we can win, whether or not, you know, we're really trusting God. Because if we're doing those things, he's saying, if you do all of those things, I want you to win. I will bless you. But if we have a hard time with some of this stuff, if we have a hard time living like God is our provider, if we have a hard time, you know, working with everything that we have, what are we really saying about our trust? Where does our trust lie? Which brings us back to what we need to know. Our identity. Our identity as a Christ follower. Our identity as a Christ follower is in our Creator, not in what we do. It doesn't mean what we do is not important. But first and foremost, our identity, our trust, everything we have, we place in him. Everything. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the home run life, what is good, what is pleasing, what is acceptable, what is perfect. That was interesting. The fans magically come on. Anyway, we turned those on a while ago, didn't we? And they just now popped on? They were? They're just high now. I'm so distracted when that happens. Can you tell? All right, let's finish this up. Do you need to be renewed in your identity? Do you need to be renewed in your identity? Have you become known for what you do rather than whose you are? Do you need to be renewed in the way that you live? Have you lived in a scarcity mindset where it's really hard to put your trust in God? Or do you live like God is your provider? And finally, what about work? What about work? Do you work as unto God? As unto the Lord, doing the best that you can every day, as if he was your boss. So what needs to be renewed in you? Ask yourself that question. What needs to be renewed in me to win results? Where do I need to step up to the plate? What do I need to do? What do I need to let go of in order to win results? Because God is for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to win. Let's pray. Father, it is amazing to me how much you care about our life. So much more than just whether or not we've said yes to you, but you care about our daily. You care about the mundane things that we do on a daily basis. So God, I pray now, as we look at winning, as we try our hardest to win, may we first know that winning comes from you. The results come from you. And God, may we know where our identity lays. God, that we are identified by who we are in Jesus, not in the things that we do here on earth. But help us to do the best we can with the things that you give us. To be responsible, to be good stewards of our gifts, of the financial gifts, of the spiritual gifts, of the physical gifts that you give us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.